IN Radio podcast with Dom Chambers.
IN Radio. Hello, and on this edition of the programme, the IN Radio podcast microphone is headed firmly in the direction of the annual radio festival brought to us each year by the Radio Academy. And for the last few years, it's always been a sunny day and an excellent day out at the British Library in London. Now, this year's publicity, rather teasingly, had Radfest 18 WTF, cue Roger Moore's eyebrow. On closer examination, though, it does, of course, turn out to be What's the Future? And I'll be having a number of conversations exploring that theme. So coming up, we have contributions from Radio 2's Jeremy Vine, Siobhan Kenny from the Radio Centre was having a particularly good day, Roger Cutsford will be telling us about the Young Arias. That, of course, ties in nicely, because any future of the audio and radio industry is going to be about nurturing the young talent that's emerging at the moment. And to that end, I thought I'd use the opportunity to dart over to Canterbury, where in fact I was last autumn, when I visited Canterbury Student Radio, which operates under the community licence from the university campus. And I had a great conversation with their manager, Jake Peach. And talking of young talent, there's one well on its way. And he was telling me all about their youth academy. Also, back at the radio festival, I talked to Luke Davis, who's another young emerging talent. Well, I say emerging. He has, of course, emerged in the town of Wickham and is an important part of Wickham Sound, which is doing a fine job as a local broadcaster in that neck of the woods. First up, though, it's Chris Burns, who was this year's chair of the Radio Festival Organising Committee. And I began by asking her about the theme of this year's festival.
It's quite interesting. When you have the first festival committee meeting, one of the things you always kind of end up discussing is, should there be a theme? And I think we sort of decided initially we wouldn't have a theme. But the theme that emerged was really looking to the future, as well as learning from what the enduring success of radio has been. And I thought it was fascinating, first thing this morning, hearing Sparkler talking about the way in which children and young people just completely get Alexa and voice-activated technology and almost use it as their friend, whereas older people, like myself, you struggle with it. And it's great sort of contrasting how new technology can extend the life of audio and give it a kind of a rebirth in all so many audiences, whilst at the same time hearing from great broadcasters like Christian O'Connell, like Jeremy Vine, and all the other wonderful names we've had today. And it was also wonderful, I thought, earlier on this morning when you heard Gillian Reynolds, writing for The Telegraph for 42 years, then moves to The Sunday Times, and just talks about the kind of tsunami you now get of podcasts that come through. So I think the theme was very much, yes, we've got this great thing called radio, but there's lots of ways in which we will endure as a media and looking to the future and how we're going to do that through the use of technology.
And I think that's come through so loud and clear today that radio is proving an incredibly resilient medium, standing now at well over a century old. And young people are accessing it, but they're probably not calling it radio.
Well, I think that's the thing, and that's why I think somebody like Charlie Sloth is so interesting, and the way in which he is using, if you like, social media and Facebook and all that kind of stuff to attract audiences to something that's linear. And I was having a conversation with a friend actually the other day whose daughter was a big Charlie Sloth fan. I said, does she listen on radio? And she said, no, she watches it on YouTube. But she recognises that it's still, Radio 1. And there's something about the way, again, you can use technology and this wonderful plethora of digital tools you can use and, as a brand, get attribution for your station.
Finally then, this time next year, what do you think we'll be talking about then?
I suspect some of the themes we've heard today will still be there. I think that the importance of voice will have increased. I think the importance of youth will have increased. I think it'll be fascinating to see what creatives are doing with those new technology as it becomes much more accessible. And I think one of the other things that was mentioned earlier on today, and in fact Charlie Sloth told me when I met him briefly, when he started out his broadcasting career, he worked on 9 different pirate stations at any given time. And I wonder, because technology is now so much cheaper, and everybody, if you like, can set up their own radio station at a relatively low price, whether what we're going to see in the future is a plethora of new broadcasters coming through. And I think seeing their creativity and how they will challenge the traditional media will make it incredibly exciting. So I probably won't be involved next year. You know, I've been involved in the radio festival, I think, off and on now for about 10 years, and I've chaired it for the last three or four. So it's probably time for somebody else to take over. But I'm sure, whatever it is, it'll be fascinating. And let's hope the sun shines.
Chris, as always, many thanks for talking.
Pleasure.
Chris Burns there, a name so strongly associated with the Radio Academy and indeed the Radio Festival of recent years. And at this year's festival, the Radio Centre was taking a very central role, led by their chief executive, Siobhan Kenny. And quite early on in the day, she and Roger introduced a rather special initiative.
The In Radio podcast.
In Radio.
It was something that's, I think, unprecedented in radio history, certainly since commercial radio was born. And Roger and I had the idea a while ago as part of the collaboration of the first ever Radio Audio Week. Was there something we could do to demonstrate the amazing power of radio? And it's kind of seems a bit of a no-brainer that mental health is a very good issue for us to highlight because of the amazing, the same time intimacy, but also the kind of reach of radio. So we approached the mental health charity Heads Together, and it's kind of blossomed from there, really. So we're amazed. It's been broadcast on that minute, which has been voiced by some incredible celebrities, has been broadcast on over 300 stations that we know about. But we also know at the last minute, there were lots of prison radio stations, online radio stations. So in the next few days, we'll know the real scale of that.
Well, now, Siobhan, I am here with Radio Today, but I'm also a director of the Community Media Association. So I must emphasise that also many of the 260 community licences participated as well. Now, in that particular sector of broadcasting, we are very focused on the impact of inclusion, participation and training, and that can have an enormous effect on people's well-being. So it's a double-edged thought here of the impact of people participating in radio, but also on audiences as well.
Well, I think that's part of the greater goal, really, of this collaboration. Because funny, as you mentioned, the whole community network. Once you start with a good idea, it's amazing how that spreads. And we've certainly seen amazing online reaction to that minute that was broadcast today across the BBC, commercial radio and community stations. So who knows where that's going to lead us next. For me, that's the interesting thing about starting up these partnerships, these projects, is it takes you in all sorts of great directions, which has, as you say, a very big further impact that we don't yet even know about.
And that leads me on nicely to the theme of today's radio festival, which is the future. And the future, I'm convinced, is looking pretty good for radio, even if we may not call it always radio. From the Radio Centre's point of view, how do you see our industry at this moment coming to the end of the second decade of this century and going forward from here?
Well, to me, it's only an exciting future ahead. I mean, as you well know, we're off the back of two record years of revenue, and that trend is continuing in 2018. We'll be announcing tomorrow the Q1 numbers, which are really good. Obviously, the Radars are out this week, so it's sort of record listening, record revenues. But for me, the actual important thing is where can we go with collaboration together? So we've seen us working with the BBC in a way that I think probably wouldn't have happened a few years ago, but now there is an imperative to do so. We've got other big beasts playing in our jungle. If we don't talk to those new listeners and young listeners and get them hooked across whatever platform, who cares? There will not be a radio in future. I massively believe in the power of radio because even in this most connected, well, I mean, one of the reasons why it's so great is because the world is so connected. But people sort of like curated content. There's so much choice that if a Christian O'Connell or a Keris Matthews tells you something is good, that helps you, you know? So the power and the spontaneity of radio, all of those amazing attributes it has, will really, really maintain it into the 21st century.
And finally, you've had a special day personally, haven't you? Tell us about that.
I have. I've been incredibly honoured to be made a fellow of the Radio Academy today. An utter surprise to me, of course. I'm very cross with my team for not telling me. But I was a bit suspicious that they were bundling me outside to get coffee when I didn't want one. And onto the stage came Alistair Campbell, of course, my old boss. Famously, the sort of yin and yang with Tessa politically. Tessa all charm, Alistair quite blunt and to the point. But I was so touched by the amazing tribute he gave to me, both for my time in government and also in the radio industry. And I think I'm lucky enough to be here in this industry at a great time when it's got a great future and I've got a fabulous team.
lovely note to end our conversation. Many thanks for talking to Radio today.
Siobhan Kenny there, and many congratulations on her Radio Academy Fellowship. The Tessa, by the way, she was referring to there was, of course, Tessa Jowell, who was the subject of a previous In Radio podcast, as we paid tribute to her on the sad news of her passing, and Siobhan contributed to that. Now, one of the names on the billing for the festival this year was the MP Damien Collins, but unfortunately he wasn't able to make it because parliamentary duties called. And when the whips ring, well, that's your diary cleared for the day. But being well connected, the Radio Academy was able to come up with a more than adequate substitute. And later, I was able to catch up with one of the nation's most familiar radio voices.
This is Jeremy Vine from, I guess I say Radio 2. Yeah, I'm lucky enough to work there.
Now, you were a bit of a last-minute entry on today's stage. Tell us about how that came about and what it is you've done.
Well, it's funny. I was asked to speak on fake news, and because I was only asked to speak about 12 hours ago, I thought, oh, I won't talk about that. I'll talk about something else I've spoken about before. And then actually, as I looked at the whole fake news thing, I thought, no, there's something I want to say about it, which is that I think fake news is fake, actually. I think it's old news. It's how the news business has always worked, but I think what's different is just the platforms. But anyway, whatever. It was interesting to think about it.
You had a couple of stories that illustrated that point, didn't you? Including the father of Meghan Markle.
Yeah, I feel very sorry for Thomas Markle. He's in Mexico. He's very cut off. He's obviously approached by, I'm presuming, a very friendly English photographer who tells him, let's have a bit of fun. We'll take a picture of you with a book about English castles. We'll take a picture of you surfing the net in an internet cafe. Anyway, it all comes out. He's accepted money. He feels ashamed. He doesn't realise he's been completely stitched up. Now the papers have a real story, which is that he's not going to give his daughter away. I feel that's almost the worst possible witness to what we do as a media. And I think his experience of it is really poor. And at no point in that, really, was there any involvement of necessarily of so-called new media at a primary stage. It was all old media, photographer, newspaper, etc. So, I don't know, I feel gutted for him, but I think it's a good illustration of the fact that I'm afraid that story was basically phoned in from the 70s. It's always been with us, fake news.
What is fake about that? I mean, I get the tactics are distasteful, and I get that they've been long-honed tactics. But in a culture where we're actually being fed stuff that's untrue, how does that fit into the spectrum then?
Well, what's fake about it is that the first time I saw him in a Starbucks cafe reading a book on English castles, I was genuinely amused because I genuinely thought he was genuinely doing that. It now turns out to all be untrue, and it probably wasn't even his book and he probably wasn't reading it. So I was hoaxed there as the consumer. But I think also he's a victim too, because I don't think he realised the context and the damage he was doing himself by agreeing to do that. So he becomes the victim, I become the victim, that's what's fake about it.
Jeremy, you are one of the country's leading radio presenters with a big audience, and we are concerned on Radio 2. Now, Radio 2 is not known for attracting its youth listeners. How do you see our industry, the one that you've said so many times that you love and we all love, and that's why we're gathered here today at the British Library. How do you see the future of our industry for young people, their place in it, and indeed how their priorities might change it?
I'm so glad I'm not a kind of a... Is that Lauren there? Can I just say hello? Thank you so much for having me. See you soon. I'm so glad I'm not a strategist or a planner or a manager, so I can have an answer to that, but it doesn't have to be the right answer. My theory is that we just do what we're doing. And when people get older, they'll listen to us. Now, it might be that that doesn't work for Radio 2, but I think if we suddenly crash down to playing rap, we might lose our core without gaining any new listeners. Now, that makes me sound really small-c conservative, doesn't it? But I'm conscious that we've actually modernized quite powerfully anyway. We don't play that much 1950s music, for example, or even 60s now. So I think we should cherish our existing listeners first and then find new ones second. But I agree, what's happened here, it's not so much a cultural change that people don't like the Eagles anymore, it's that people are choosing to listen to music and do stuff on other platforms than radio. But listen, one thought, competing with the loudspeaker, is that if you look at the internet attack on us, which has been like an escaped tiger, it's basically wiped out and rebooted television. It's destroyed newspapers. There's almost nothing left of them. Radio is still here and still going strong. We're now 15 years into the radio revolution, into the internet revolution. So radio's weathered it. We're the most old-fashioned bit of it. We're called the wireless before the wireless was even invented. But we're still going. That's got to be good.
Jeremy, I appreciate your time. Many thanks.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers.
Jeremy Vine speaking to me there towards the end of the radio festival and competing with various other noises going on in the atrium outside of the theatre at the British Library. And I have to say, his enthusiasm is infectious and always a pleasure talking to Jeremy. I remember once he was speaking at an event at Bristol University, and I took a bunch of students and trainees in radio along to meet him, and he gave them so much time and was very encouraging of their endeavours. And talking of training and how we encourage young people, don't forget later on I'm talking to Jake Peach about the Youth Academy. And a little bit closer to home for me, well, the conversations and interviews that go into this podcast are edited by young people on traineeships at Summer Valley FM. And they do a great job, but when they were editing that interview with Jeremy, they took the little bit out where he just breaks off and says hello to Lauren Laverne, who was hosting the day. So he was thanking her for kind of allowing him onto the stage last minute. And they chopped it out of their edit, and I said, no, put it back in, because I thought it was rather charming. Well, I could hardly profile the radio festival without including the boss man who puts it all together. And here he is.
I'm Roger Cutsforth, I'm the Chief Exec of the Radio Academy.
We're having a marvellous day here today at the Radio Festival. How's it been for you?
I'm a lot more relaxed now that it's finished and everyone seems to have enjoyed a good day. The feedback has been great. I think it is stressful when you're putting on for things like this. You always get last-minute changes and schedule turnarounds. And you're just keen that it's like doing anything, isn't it? Putting on a radio show, podcast, whatever. You just want people to enjoy what you've done. And thankfully, that's gone well for us today.
There's a theme, really, about the future today and how young people are going to shape the future of the industry and be part of it. And what are your feelings on that, and particularly in reflections to what we've been hearing?
Well, I'm very positive about it, and hence why we were keen to look at that topic this year. It wasn't when we put the steering group together, it wasn't, well, let's have this topic of the future and then fit things around it. We were talking about what was interesting, what was going on right now, and then the theme of the future came out of those discussions. We feel very positive about it. We think it's a golden age in audio and radio now. And I think there's so much talent coming through. I think we heard the guys on from Salford today, then with Camilla from Podium.me, etc., Charlie Sloth on the stage. So much new, fresh talent. Louis Timpany doing his things at Fix Radio. I just think there's so much more to come. I'm very positive about the future of our industry. I'd like to see more young people getting the opportunities and the exposure. And at the Academy, that's something that we're going to try and help with.
Which I couldn't have led in better, Roger, to the fact that the ARIAs, which you've been really personally identified with in bringing back an awards process to the radio industry, but the ARIAs are now moving one stage further, are they not, with a whole youth strand.
I've collaborated with Radio Centre, and we are launching in 2019 something called the Young ARIAs. And what we're looking for is we've identified that there's a challenge with diversity of talent coming into the industry. We do our 30 under 30 thing, which has been fantastic in identifying people in the industry that are doing great things under the age of 30. But we really wanted to look with fewer people going to university now. We've got great relationships with the Student Radio Association, but with fewer people going to university, how do we engage more with people in schools, in youth clubs, etc., or doing podcasts in the bedroom? And so for us to take the ARIAs and launch the Young ARIAs to recognise and showcase that talent, we felt was a natural progression for us.
And that recognition process for the young talent in our industry, will that be part of the ceremony that usually takes place in the autumn in Leeds and the ARIAs, or is it going to be a separate thing?
It's going to be a separate thing, and the reason why, logistically it's a nightmare. It'd have been a lot easier and a lot more cost effective to have done it as the same thing. But we didn't want it to feel like it was a precursor to the main awards, if you like. We wanted it to be something that was about recognising that talent in their own space, at their own time, with their own event, and we felt that was very important.
So how do people get involved in that? Is it too early to say that yet?
Yeah, it's too early to say. We will have more information coming out throughout the year. We're working with our delivery partners on that at the moment, and obviously with dealing with young people and education. There's a lot of compliance and everything that we need to go through. So more information will come throughout the year. But we'll be looking to have it and staging our first one during Radio and Audio Week of May 2019.
Well, Roger, just by way of a last question then, under your stewardship, the Radio Academy is looking good. It's a lot of hard work's gone on the last 3 years. What's its future? And part of your answer, why should people be members?
Firstly, thank you very much. My view has been to change the Radio Academy from, I felt it had become stale, I felt it had become more about commercial patrons within the organisation, not about members and about people within the industry. And so, for me, the reason why you should be a member of the Radio Academy is this is the place, this is the gateway for young talent to get into the industry. But it's also with established talent. You've seen the people around there today. It's about making those connections, those relationships. Who will your next employer be? Are they here today? How can we all share greater knowledge to raise the bar more generally within the industry? And that's why it's important. It's the community, it's the network for the radio and audio industry.
Roger, many thanks for today. Thanks for talking to the In Radio podcast, and we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you. Cheers, Don.
And since I had that conversation with Roger in mid-May, we know a little bit more about the youth ARIAs, and they'll be open to anyone aged 8 to 18 who might be involved in school radio, podcasts, audio projects, or their local community or hospital radio stations. It's also been announced that Radio 1's Matt Edmondson and Molly King are going to be involved, and KISS FM's breakfast team, Ricky, Melvin and Charlie. They're all on board to support the initiative, which opens for entries later on in the year. Which leads us, with splendid timing, to having a look at a great project over in Canterbury when I visited CSR FM back in the autumn. I was talking to the station manager, Jake Peach, and I was asking him what it was all about.
In Radio. The Youth Academy was a programme set up by CSR FM, I believe a few years ago now, to enable people aged 13 to 18 in the local community of Canterbury to learn the basics of radio. So most community stations have a policy of you can't join community radio till we're 18. That's the policy we run here at CSR FM, just because of the student culture that's involved as well. And it's just basically getting in local groups, whether they be scout groups, local schools, local educational institutions, even the Canterbury College have visited us quite regularly. We can just teach them about the basics of radio, from presenting, producing, audio editing, even some like management tips as well, of how a radio station runs, how it operates. Run a variety of things, and the great thing about this is our members that have joined the station and that are usually on committee, but sometimes just members that do their show, and can actually come in and run some of the workshops and give back to the community through the Youth Academy and pass on their knowledge to people that don't have access to community radio or student radio yet. So it's a great program that just enables people that may have an interest in media, probably at that point, with radio sort of being a very niche area, just to explore what it's like and explore the landscape and how a station may actually run in industry. And it's sort of the gateway for people into CSR FM, of course, through the Youth Academy, but also a great gateway for people just understanding sort of a media landscape.
Do you know if the Academy's offering any accredited outcomes, or are they supporting accredited outcomes in the formal side of education through school?
There isn't any sort of accredited qualification that comes out of our Youth Academy. It's more of an advice and feedback workshop kind of system. We are working towards getting an accredited programme together. We've received some really good funding from the local council that helps us put on these events. Whether it us be holding workshops here at CSR where we are now, or whether it be actually going into schools and showing what radio is all about, we can do that too. And we're really looking elsewhere now, out of schools, really to expand the programme into hospitals, perhaps, and also some more local sort of community groups, such as scouts, more beavers groups, anything like that. Any groups that are actually interested as well. We're quite open and flexible, and we really want to extend our reach of what we do with the programme.
I love the way you've articulated that, so that you can be inclusive. You've created these little sort of mini environments which are appropriate, say, for school kids or for students, where they can benefit from each other, but at the same time, there's a kind of safeguarding model as well.
Yeah, there is. We do make sure that, obviously, we have staff or teachers come along to the workshops so that, you know, we're not doing all the legwork. That would be silly. We don't know what the children are going to do during our workshops. But it is great that we can deliver the advice and hopefully improve someone's education of media or radio or just life in general, really. I mean, many of these skills are transferable. Presenting is talking on a daily basis. Producing is organising and making sure everything is where it needs to be in life, or whether you'll be responsible for choosing music. I mean, music is in all our lives, and you know, making judgments on that. It can, everything that we do in the Youth Academy or anything in radio is about capturing life. And if you have skills in certain skills around radio, it normally does transfer further on in life, whether that be going for a job or, you know, being at home with family, getting on with them a little better and communicating a bit better.
And what Jake is talking about there goes to the heart of the real value, both as individuals as well as to society, if you like, of involvement in this kind of radio training, where you get life skills, you get the confidence, you get improved self-esteem if that's needed, as well as tangible communications and media skills. Many thanks to Jake there for welcoming me to CSR. And actually, on the day I'm recording this podcast, I noticed that Jake has been awarded a first-class honours degree in film, radio and television. So many congratulations, Jake. And I've no doubt that you are going to be a name to look out for in the future. Indeed, you are already a name in Kent, where since our conversation, not only running CSR FM, but you're now a broadcast assistant at BBC Kent as well. For now, though, it is back to the radio festival. And given the main preoccupation of the day, which was about the future of the radio industry, I think it is fitting that we give the last word to a young radio talent.
The In Radio Podcast.
In Radio. Hello, I'm Luke Davis, and I'm from Wickham Sound. I'm the station manager there.
And how did you come to be here at the radio festival today?
Oh, well, really, it's all down to Pippa, one of our directors at Wickham Sound, who put me up for one of the tickets. We won one as Wickham Sound, and this is my first time here, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the event. It's been really good.
OK, well, from where I'm standing, you seem eternally youthful to me. How old are you?
I'm 22.
OK, so one of the themes of today has been about how young people are shaping the industry, will shape its future and be part of it. What is your feeling about that theme and perhaps your place in the industry?
Well, we're very lucky at Wickham Sound where we are placed. We're near London, so we have older generations that have worked at BBC and they've come to help us put the station together and present. And then there's young people coming in from schools around us and universities that, again, are coming in. And it's great to be working with them because they're learning stuff. We're learning stuff from them as well. And I think it's a show today as well. So, yeah, it's been really, really good. And, yeah, lots of things to take back to Wickham.
Well, it's a broad industry, of course, and it's not only about people in it for their jobs and their careers. You can be in it for a whole myriad of reasons, and we in the community radio sector know that more than most, because a lot of people want to be volunteering and developing their skills and their contributions. Perhaps they want to work with young people, perhaps they want to work with other people in their community they wouldn't otherwise meet. What's the future for you? Would you like a paid for... Actually, you're paid already.
Slightly, kind of, but yeah, no, something paid would be brilliant at the BBC, would be amazing, and that is where I'm aiming for.
Yeah,
and it's just been like with Charlie, with Jeremy Vine, who was brilliant and definitely one of the highlights of today's events, was just so interesting listening to what they had to say.
And what's your view then of the place of the community licence sector? There's over 260 broadcasting right now in the UK. We've heard a lot about the BBC networks, inevitably. We've heard a lot about the commercial radio networks. But actually, what's sneaking up a little bit under the radar? Maybe we should be talking to the people who organise this and other events for next year, because I think we need to be on that stage as well. But how do you see the community licence sector in that wider landscape of the radio industry in the UK?
I mean, definitely, I think there needs to be some sort of community radio aspect to the radio festival. I think possibly out of everything, that's the only thing that was lacking today. But yeah, it's just amazing to see at the awards all the things, because when the people were winning the awards, you were hearing what their awards were for and some of their audio. And I think it's just amazing that all the different community radio stations that there are out there, and especially with today with Mental Health Awareness Day, coming together for that 1 minute, I think there's so much different radio stations out there for everybody and bringing communities together. And we see it at Wickham Sound, just bringing people together. And I think that's just brilliant. But definitely for Radio Fest next year, I think there needs to be something for community radio.
Your enthusiasm is infectious. You are here and, you know, this is your first ever radio festival and you're having a good time. That was facilitated by the Community Media Association and their partnership with Internews. So what would you like to say to them who've given you this opportunity?
Oh, a massive thank you to them, because, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to afford the tickets. So just for them to giving us the tickets is brilliant, because I've learned so much and I've got so much to take back and to use in future times.
Well, Pippa is a great friend of mine. We've worked together on the Community Media Association. At one point, she had a look and I had a look in terms of Summer Valley FM, and I coined the idea with her that every radio station needs to have its own look, and I think you've borne testimony to that. Incidentally, you may not be aware of this, but St Luke is the patron saint of broadcasting, because, of course, they figured it all out 2,000 years ago.
Well, I'm just rebirthed. Yeah, and I think Pippa is very brilliant and, yeah, deserves a lot of credit for Wickham Sound.
Well, send her my best and, of course, everyone else at Wickham Sound, and I look forward to dipping in on one of my many journeys up the M4.
Ah, lovely to see you as always.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure when Internews had in mind the idea of subsidising CMA members to attend the radio festival, that's exactly the kind of impact they were hoping to have. Great that Luke and a few others from the community radio sector had that opportunity. As to the point he was making about the place of community radio at the radio festival, I think it is a point. And perhaps the Radio Festival, brilliant event as it is, could think about being more reflective of what is happening at grassroots and community level in the radio industry. And I'm sure there'll be discussions about that over the next year. In the meantime, I can tell you that the Community Media Association's annual conference will be on the 15th of September. This year it's going to be in Sheffield. And it is following a youth theme. It's not only following that theme, it is going to be curated by people under 25. I've got a feeling that this year tickets are going to be offered at a reduced rate from previous years. But do look out for details on that coming very soon. Looking even further ahead into the year, on the 20th of October, I'm working with the Radio Hub. We're bringing a one-day conference to the southwest, specifically in Bridgewater, which is the home of Sedgemoor FM. And that conference will be themed on community radio now and next. And I'm just lining up some fine speakers for that. And that event will be free. And that's it for this edition of the programme. My next In Radio podcast will find me in the rarefied environs of Lambeth Palace, speaking to some rather rarefied people. And more particularly to the winners of this year's Sanford St Martin's Broadcast Awards. There'll also be more from my community radio tours and the impact stories I do like to share. But all that, as I may have said elsewhere, is a story for another occasion. Many thanks to the Radio Academy for the Radio Festival, and in particular to Chris, Jeremy, Siobhan and Roger for giving their time to the In Radio podcast, and also to Jake and Luke for their contributions as well. In Radio.